station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com station. WSCR in HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! Pedro Martinez jinxed it, saying it would be a pitcher's duel.
Well, I expected that. At least on one side, I got it. On the other side, well, I was wrong. I'm 50-50.
And that's better than Angel Hernandez.
Oh, Angel is horrible. Don't get me going on Angel now. Major League Baseball needs to do something about Angel.
Well, we didn't know.
It doesn't matter how many times he sues the Major League Baseball.
He's going to sue you.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, that's coming.
He's as bad as there is. That's the main reason why we're sitting here so late.
Hey, look, hitters below the Mendoza line, there's now the Angel line for replays.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy, indeed.
Mully at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. Someone didn't want to work late last night.
No.
Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. And most
Pedro Rosner. Thank you for listening.
Yes, it means a lot to us when you listen. And want to thank Dustin for his fine contribution. And Kevbo with all the audio. And, of course, Ray for being the straw that stirs those two.
Mikey, thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And now it's time to welcome in Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight.
Hey, guys.
Morning, fellas. Morning.
Does the cycle count when it's against a position
player? Sure.
Yeah, I guess. No. It sure
does.
It counts. When
counts.
Brock Holt hitting a home run.
It's historic.
Is there any holdover from that?
From losing 16-1.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Jeff Sullivan about that today. We actually wanted to ask him, the guy that knows everything about baseball.
You won't discuss it until you talk to him.
Well,
no, I mean,
believe that the next day's starting pitcher is momentum, then how do you say that matters?
Well, no, it matters depending on how you deploy your bullpen.
They didn't deploy a bullpen.
Exactly. Well, that
Austin
was
Romine pitched.
Yeah, it was weird. Terrible. That how slow it seemed Boone was to understand that was getting away from you. You bring Severino out to start the fourth. You know, it just seems strange to me that there was a complete lack of desperation. Unless he's just like, look, we're gonna get him tomorrow, and that's gonna be that. I don't know. It seemed like he was a little slow in the uptake.
When you've got a bullpen as deep as his, that has as many arms that go out there, I wonder if you feel like you've got a more, because
Lance
you have
Lynn?
More bullets, you can spend a couple more.
I don't know, but you give
him. Yeah, no, the guys he went to was an interesting
choice. You leave
him
out there forever, he starts the fourth, and then you go to Lance Lynn, who's not going to miss a bat.
No, not a single one.
So I thought it was a little.
It was a bad enough game where the umpire became the story.
Well, he would have been the story regardless of how
probably
bad that game
so,
was, though.
But you know, Jeff
because
Passan
he's Angel Hernandez. He deserves it.
Probably.
I mean, look at the way he's blown calls. Look at the way he's gone after Major League Baseball for his assignments. Look at the way he stood up against players who argue with his blown calls. Look at the way he takes over a situation and demands that people look at him. Look at it. Look at him.
And he's got the plate tonight.
That's the guy. That's the guy.
He's behind the plate tonight.
I think
tonight?
He's got the plate.
That's wow. We talked about it in the meeting.
I'm wondering if there's something up with his hearing. Because when I have heard umpires talk about first base calls, most of them look at the base and then they hear the impact of the ball on the glove.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be a little bit of a delay because it's hard to keep your eyes on both. I'm wondering if it's got a hearing issue.
It doesn't really account for his strike zone, though, does it?
No, it does not.
I think he's got a vision issue.
Might have a being bad issue. Yeah.
He's got that blind in one eye and can't see out of the other. I mean, I got to tell you.
I tell you, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Well, his problem is he's dead, which is fine for the rest of us.
I can't hear a word you're saying.
That's because you're dead. Go stay dead. Get out of here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I got there's a lot of people
all
around
right.
here.
And it's hot where he is.
Yeah, keep getting poked with a prod. What's going on here?
The guy with the horns and the trident. Oh, it's so hot. Need a glass of water.
So, you guys watch the Bulls last night?
Dude. I understand it's preseason. I know guys aren't trying. I know sometimes in the regular season guys aren't trying.
Steve Kerr gets ejected from preseason games just so he doesn't have to watch.
That's what he said. I don't want to be here anyway.
I don't want to be here.
But the Bulls' defense is astonishingly bad.
It's a rumor. It's not an actual
rumor. If you're going to switch everything, it doesn't matter who guards who. You know, we look at these defensive assignments, who's on this guy, who's on that guy. eventually they're just, it looks like they're just trying to keep a different colored uniform in between somebody in the basket sometimes.
Who's their stopper?
Chris Dunn. I mean, they don't really have one. But no. Chris Dunn is probably the best defensive player that you have.
Wendell Carter Jr. can guard the rim a little bit.
Yeah, he's a bit of a rim protector. But,
I mean, this is really, you're going to need to score 200 points a game.
200?
Yeah.
Yeah, light it up.
How many possessions do you need? They have to shoot 2 seconds into the shot clock.
Yeah, no.
Just jack it up.
Zach LaVine will help with
under
that.
The, yeah.
Just chuck it up.
He had a pretty efficient day, though.
He's scoring.
15 shots, 26 points.
Yeah. Look, the Blackhawks are doing it, too. Yeah. Why not? Let's just let everybody fly around with their hair on fire and just see how many points you can score and let the dust settle at the end. Maybe you win, maybe you don't.
This transition brought to you by Aloha Restoration. Get your home bone dry in no time.
It's been the that's been the knock on the Saints the entire career of Drew Brees, right? Just throw up a whole bunch of points and maybe you land a lucky defense here or there. Get yourself a Super Bowl title and a whole bunch of
You like Drew Brees? You like
Drew Brees? Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's really tough.
How good is he?
Tough to
Where
not
do you
like
rank him.
Wait, he's got this weird thing of playing behind two of the all-time greats his entire
At the same
career.
Time, yeah. Overshadowed.
And that's
bit.
Why I can't have three guys from the same era, modern era, as the five greatest
it's
quarterbacks.
It's the golden
ever.
Era of quarterbacks, though.
Yeah, I mean, look how we're going to remember Philip Rivers when all is said and done. Look, seriously.
I know. Unbelievable numbers.
Insane numbers. Right. And the same guy every year doing the same thing, and nobody's going to even mention poor Philip Rivers out west somewhere making children. And
Jay might say something nasty about him on that show, that reality show.
That's true.
Barry Cavallari.
They've
Don't
never
they
liked
hate each other?
Yeah, they've never liked each other.
They used to be a nice
But
rivalry.
He doesn't get his due. Drew Brees just now kind of getting his due. I mean, he deserves it because the numbers speak for themselves. But when you play in an era with Brady and Manning, it's all about Brady and Manning. And Drew Brees is going to be a top. By the time he's done, if they win another Super Bowl, as we talked with Mike Florio, if the Saints win a Super Bowl, and I guess they could this year, then he puts himself in a different class.
I think when you're the all-time, we're going to be the all-time leader in yards and touchdowns. You're kind of at the big boy table already.
But now, you are at the big boy table. But where? I mean, we were talking about top five, and that's the discussion. And if he wins a second Super Bowl, he's definitely in the top five.
So let me ask you this then: how much did Peyton Manning improve his tier of Hall of Fameness with his last Super Bowl?
It's all conjecture. It's all legacy, but a lot.
A lot. Even despite the way he was playing and despite how that team specifically won. I'm just, because to me,
he had nothing
that
to do
was
with it.
Matter of fact.
Well, it was Elway. When Elway finally got his Super Bowl, he wasn't the best player on his team. The next time he won the Super Bowl, he actually played better.
The running back was the best player on
his
team.
Terrell Davis was in that offense.
Terrell Davis.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the game in particular, the actual Super Bowl. I mean, that season that Peyton had, he wasn't Peyton Manning. Granted, he's coming back from a
severed
head.
No, he was better in the playoffs than he was during the regular season. He was terrible in the regular season.
He absolutely was, and that team helped him quite a bit. But I don't... You know, if Drew Brees tears
Brock
an ACL
Osweiler
last night,
Super Bowl.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, never mind.
If Drew Brees goes down last night and never gets the records that he put up, I think he's still in the same.
But we
class.
Have this weird metric of measuring quarterbacks by championships.
That's true. I
get it too. But I think that if you're talking about strictly an individual performance at a position, you might Dan Marino is going to be much higher on most people's list too because
than
individually.
Drew Brees?
Well, maybe because he was, it's in terms of just arm talent, in terms of just execution,
Release.
It's hard to get better than Dan Marino, but he never won a championship. So he gets knocked down several notches in the eyes of many. I get that. So that's why Peyton Manning, we remember him as the only quarterback to win the Super Bowl with two different teams, even though he wasn't that quarterback, you know, that he was with the Broncos, that he was with the Colts.
Does Drew Brees get extra points from anybody for being 5'10"? Because he does for me. And last night on the broadcast, that Monday night broadcast, we've talked about this with Dan McNeil quite a bit. It's a tough listen, but Booger McFarland just put him out there as 5'10 for everybody. All this 6 foot nonsense, that man's not 6 feet.
No, he's not.
He's not 6 feet. He's tiny. He's very,
quick
very
aside,
small.
Does Booger McFarland, if you can't see him when he's talking because he's on the sideline, this uses
in the hovercraft.
Does it remind you, do you think you're listening to Frank Thomas?
Because I'm like, he doesn't speak as quickly. Frank speaks in these
machine
gun bursts.
Similar.
You're right about the voice, but Frank has a speech pattern. where he kind of spits out words in groups like this. And frankly, tough to understand because sometimes he spits out words like this. And Booger's got a better broadcasting speech pattern.
I was waiting for Booger to break down Yankees Red Sox or make a joke about A-Rod. I just was waiting there like I'm listening to Frank Thomas.
That's not bad.
I don't know.
What do you guys got going?
Sage Rosenfels is going to talk about Drew Brees, the state of quarterbacking, everything that's going on with the Bears matchup with the Dolphins at 10. Jeff Sullivan of Fangraphs. There's a lot of baseball things. Percentage of playoff runs off homers. The number of batters faced by relievers is now above 50%.
Wow.
In the playoffs. So we're seeing this drastic spike in bullpen usage. Talk to him about that trend. Midday Midway at 11. Paul Charchian will get your waiver wire optimized at 11:40. Three chances to win $1,000 via a lucky text.
Great. Have a good show.
See you guys.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
Bears fans, we've got an incredible lineup of football experts on every score show throughout the season,
including our show, Bernstein and McKnight.
9 a.m. to 1.
Featuring NBC Sports Pro Football Talk host Mike Florio Wednesdays at 10.
Score football expert Hub Arkish
Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon.
The Bleacher Report's Matt Miller Thursdays at 10.
Former Bear and Bears pregame host Patrick Manley Fridays at noon, and lots more.
So keep it on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. On Sunday, the Chargers pulled out a 26-10 victory over the Raiders, but once again, Phillip Rivers and company enjoyed home field advantage on paper only. As traveling Chiefs and 49er fans had done earlier, the Raiders Nation took over the majority of those seats in the soccer stadium that were actually occupied. One spectator, however, claimed to be neutral. That would be Commissioner Roger Goodell, who will never publicly admit to what he witnessed, that allowing the Chargers to leave San Diego was a colossal mistake. As USA Today wondered recently, if the Chargers can't fill an MLS stadium with their own fans in year two, how are they supposed to fill a 70,000 plus seat stadium in a couple of years? Maybe you could answer that one. Commissioner, doesn't seem like it's going to happen. I'm Boomer Esiason.